Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.
It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Each weekday, we bring you 9 minutes of Northern Michigan. In a moment, we're going to round up some headlines and hear about moves in Lansing to restrict how your local government can control land use through zoning. First, though, a related topic, not the land, but how we build upon it. Property owners in Northern Michigan say the state has not kept up with contractor fraud. And a review of police complaints, court records, bankruptcy proceedings, and state licensing board decisions bears that out. It shows that contractors were able to keep working, despite authorities knowing about their deception in a lot of cases. Journalist Marty Link did the review of those records for the Northern Michigan Journalism Collaborative and joins us now. Hey, Marty.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm well. Let's start where your story does, in an Antrim County courtroom. What did you see?
So Antrim County, if you've never been there, in Bel Air, the courthouse is historic and lovely and beautiful. And on that day, Judge Cooney was presiding, and I sat next to a woman named Kelly Newell. She had a pile of papers on her lap that she had been collecting over probably 4 or 5 years. And she was there to see the contractor that she had hired to build a wedding venue be sentenced for false pretenses charges. He had originally been brought up on felonies, but it was reduced to false pretenses. So she was an avid listener to what was happening in the court that day.
So there's Kelly Newell's case. And then there's a whole bunch of other cases that you looked at. You looked at all these records about how contractors perform, essentially, in Michigan and how they're regulated. What did you find?
Well, one thing I would say is that we have anywhere between 58,000, early 60,000 licensed builders in our state. The majority of them, the large majority of them, are honest and never run afoul of state regulators, never get brought up on charges, probably do good work. What I found is that there were a number of repeat offenders who were able to continue working, even though it looked to me like law enforcement and maybe the courts and certainly state regulators had some evidence or had fielded complaints about their business activities that were not favorable. And yet sometimes it took years for them to face any real comeuppance.
So let's be clear, your story is not an indictment of the building industry. What it's looking at are holes in the system that are allowing the bad actors to go unnoticed or at least go unattended to.
Right. Yeah. Now, for example, if you file a complaint against somebody with LARA, it says right on that complaint form that the information on that form is available by a FOIA. So let's say I'm hiring somebody to do a remodel of my kitchen. Am I really going to think to myself, you know what? I'm going to file a Freedom of Information Act request with LARA to find out if this guy has any complaints against him. So some of the information might be available, but in the heat of the moment of hiring someone, either people don't know how to go about getting it or it wouldn't occur to them. So I think that is part of the problem. The other issue that I heard over and over and over again was once somebody had evidence that they believed they had been victimized and a crime had been committed and they approached law enforcement or their local county prosecutor, there was a tendency to want to make these civil cases, not criminal cases. And in a civil case, the victim has to hire an attorney to try to get their money back. And they've already been out money. So people might be hesitant to then spend more money when they're not even sure if they're going to be made whole.
And LARA, just so people know, stands for the state's Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, which is the agency that handles a lot of professional licensure and complaint issues, that kind of thing.
Right.
Certainly these cases matter to the people who are affected by problems working with contractors. But how about the rest of us? You know, like, what is the cost, the bigger picture cost, to stuff like this going unnoticed?
You know, I think since the pandemic, that more of us are staying in our houses, wanting to improve on our houses. Maybe some of it's DIY, but a lot of it is hiring somebody for help. And if you're getting taken advantage of, and then you go and want some, you know, repercussions from that, it takes tax dollars to pay prosecutors. It takes tax dollars to run courts. And if these cases are filling up the courts, either civil or criminal, that means they're other cases are waiting to be heard. So I think it's sort of this overall effect on all of us if we're not finding a way to either keep people honest or make sure they face sanctions when they're not.
So the prosecutor in Leelanau County had an interesting take on this about why it's so hard to prosecute these cases.
He did. Yeah. Joe Hubble has been prosecutor there for a number of years. He has successfully prosecuted some contractor fraud cases. And his explanation was, and I'm paraphrasing here, we tell victims, do you want blood or do you want money? And by that, he meant, do you want the maximum? Do you want me to try and get the maximum sentence? Or would you like to get some of your money back? Because a number of these cases require plea agreements. And if there's going to be a plea agreement, the person being prosecuted is going to want something too. And sometimes that is either a reduction or a drop of some charges.
Marty Link, thank you very much for this reporting.
Thanks, Ed.
Marty Link's story is on our website, iprnews.org, and it comes to us through the Northern Michigan Journalism Collaborative, a project led by Interlochen Public Radio and Bridge Michigan, and funded by Press Forward Northern Michigan. So that's a conversation about how the state regulates the people who build. There are also some moves in Lansing to further limit the way we use the land, namely how local governments control land use through zoning. Michigan already has some laws on the books that do this. Now, there are bipartisan House bills that would add some new restrictions. Michigan Public's Adam Yahya Reyes has that story.
Under a set of 9 bills, local governments couldn't set certain zoning rules. For example, duplexes and mobile homes in single-family neighborhoods would have to be allowed. Supporters say these bills could help the state's housing shortage. Wayne County Commissioner Melissa Dobb disagrees.
There are other driving factors such as broader economic issues, rising labor and material costs, high interest rates, and various market dynamics. Sweeping measures like the ones being introduced would dismiss years of community planning work and completely override local voices and voter decisions.
Wayne County commissioners passed a resolution last week opposing the bills. I'm Adam Yahya Reyes.
Some other stories making news today in northern Michigan. One person has died in a house explosion in East Jordan. This happened Friday night. Friends and colleagues confirmed that the person killed was local attorney Wanda Lozier, the Record Eagle reporting that 2 others were also injured. Leelanau County could get a drain commissioner tomorrow. A 3-person panel is expected to choose between 2 candidates, former Leelanau County Administrator Chet Janik and Tim Lodge, a retired city engineer from Traverse City. The Ticker reports that they are vying to fill a vacancy left by Timothy Onan, who was elected in 2024, but resigned earlier this month to focus on his main work as a land surveyor. That's the Up North Lowdown for Monday, March 23rd. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening. Hey, Ed Ronco again. Want to say thanks for listening to the Lowdown podcast, especially if you're hearing me right now, because it means you made it to the end. We appreciate that. If you liked what you heard, rate and review it through your favorite podcast app. It is nice for us to know what you think, but also doing that helps more people find this podcast. Thanks again for listening to the Up North Lowdown.